evening, New Zealand. I'm Ian Wishart. This is Radio Pacific. Welcome aboard for Thursday night. If you've just joined us, thanks for sharing your evening. Grab yourself a cup of Arabica coffee. Sit back and chill. As we bring you an evening's entertainment, Ray's on the flight deck. I've got the joystick. And you have the telephone. 0800 309 399. There's one line spare. I did invite and have invited comment this evening on the Blair, the Hutton report that's cleared Tony Blair. Also, American weapons inspector David Kaye has fired a broadside at the White House, basically saying there were no weapons of mass destruction. It's time to admit we were wrong. And I think that's a fair call. Also, this just been published by an Iraqi newspaper. Saddam Hussein used oil to bribe French officials into opposing the US-led war against Iraq, according to documents allegedly from the ousted Baghdad regime's oil ministry. The US-backed Iraqi governing council is investigating the claim, which is prompted by a report from an independent Baghdad newspaper, Al-Madar. From the government documents, the Iraqi newspaper has published a list of 46 individuals, companies and organisations inside and outside Iraq who were given millions of barrels of oil in return for leading efforts to oppose the US war in Iraq. So two significant things here. First of all, that Iraq was bribing France with oil to oppose the US war, and France duly obliged. And secondly, the story hasn't broken in the Washington Post. It's been broken by an Iraqi newspaper who've published the documents in the names of 46 individuals involved. Good skills. Good to see a free press in Iraq actually doing their job. Race results. Welcome back. I'm Ian Wishart. This is Radio Pacific. Constance, hello.
Yes, hello, Ian. Well, I think Labor's really wearing its diversity coat these days. And as regards to this Islamic school, well, isn't this the free market ideology? Other countries can come in and do whatever they want, and we cannot interfere with that. They could even start up their own army training camps, naval ports, you name it. They've got the right to do this, and this is what Labour has signed this country away to. And whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, personally, myself, I think it's a bad thing, because this whole free market idea is to crush everything that we once were very proud of in this country. And if we've privatised everything, we don't own anything.
We certainly don't own much today. Thank you for that, Constance. It is 12 minutes past 8, back in just a second.
Phone 309-3099 or 0800-309-3099 from anywhere around New Zealand and talk with Ian Wishart on Radio Pacific. More stimulating talk radio.
Welcome back, folks. 14 minutes past 8 is the time. Mary, hello.
Oh, yes, good evening, Ian. I was thinking about the $40 million that was given to Indonesia. I think it was over a period of time, wasn't it?
About 5 years, yep.
5 years. Well, I think at the time, the educational portfolio could badly done with that, and now they're talking about closing schools down.
Yes, they are.
And that'd be because probably, I think United Nations told them to do so. Do you think that?
Yeah, I certainly think that, yes, New Zealand's aid money is part of the UN project, and, you know, Helen is one of those who, and certainly the New Zealand Ministry of Foreign Affairs, strongly follow United Nations orders. I think that's fair criticism. That's all you rang about?
Well, I was thinking about the war against Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I think George Bush really thought Iraq wanted to destroy Israel. That was part of Saddam Hussein's
plan. Yeah, although that's been part of Saddam Hussein's plan for a long time.
And Zechariah 12, from a biblical point of view, says that whoever goes against Israel will be destroyed.
Yes.
So it makes one think there were more reasons than oil, if some people think it was oil.
Yeah, I don't think it was solely oil, because the oil's going to run out in about 5 years anyway. Regardless of Iraq, I think America genuinely believed that Hussein had weapons of mass destruction or was working on them. and you know, regarded Hussein's denials as simply a boy who cried wolf. And, you know, let's be honest about this. Saddam Hussein brought this upon himself. For 30 years he'd been making weapons of mass destruction and using them. So he's on no moral high ground, and Iraq is on no moral high ground in the fact that weapons of mass destruction were not found on this occasion, because certainly he's had them in the past and he wanted them. And I think there was a report out of Pakistan as recently as 2 days ago suggesting that Pakistan nuclear scientists had sold nuclear weapons technology to Saddam Hussein in Iraq recently. So, you know, the efforts were continuing, and it was only going to be a matter of time. Let's take Joshua. Hello. Hello, Joshua. Yeah.
How's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, Ian. Hey, I fully agree with what Constance was saying, a couple of callers before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, choice. And, like, about Iraq, man. Come, man, they wanted the oil, labor. They went in there and they peeled it out. Hey.
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, the oil is already being used by the West.
Why aren't they talking about it, man? Why aren't they talking about the money that they're getting every day from pumping it out? They're not, are they?
Well, they're not making that much pumping out at the moment. I mean, look, let's put it this way. The oil from Iraq, the money from the oil sales still goes into the rebuilding effort of Iraq. That's already been announced by both Britain and the US. So they're using the oil revenues to fund the reconstruction of Iraq, and that's fair enough, because Saddam was simply using the oil money to put into Swiss bank accounts and build palaces. So the Iraqi people are one step better off with America in charge of their oil. But I don't think that the war was about oil. Ultimately, no, I think it was about September 11. I think it was about fear that Saddam Hussein, being an utter nutcase, was going to give Al Qaeda some.
Saddam Hussein didn't waste the amount. It was Bin Laden, and they didn't even caught him.
Yes, it was. But you see, Saddam Hussein, as the leader of a government, has access to things that Bin Laden doesn't have. And the thing that Bush was concerned about is that, given the right time and circumstances, Saddam Hussein slipping Bin Laden some assistance with material for weapons of mass destruction and Al-Qaeda's ability to sneak in around the world and plant the stuff, that is the big concern. I think it's a valid concern.
You believe that?
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, look what happened. All you have to look at, Joshua, is September 11, the World Trade Center coming down. All you have to look at is the planes going into those buildings and then collapsing. No one believed that anybody could launch a military strike on U.S. soil successfully. And look, it happened. Of course America's paranoid.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's what it's about. It's about paranoia. And, you know, I think with good reason. I'm not sure there's an easy way out of that one. Thanks for your call. 19 past 8, Radio Pacific. Hassan, hello.
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 Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was just wondering, who told you exactly about that text in the Quran about if the infidels don't go into Islam, they get their heads cut off or something like that?
If I had the surah in front of me, I could tell you again what verse it was, but it's one of several that are quoted repeatedly.
It actually does say that, but you need to, in order to put it in text, you actually have to continue reading it. And afterwards, it doesn't say that. It says if the country that you're trying to put Islam into doesn't allow you to go and tell people about Islam, then you have to force it in.
Yeah.
But if you don't...
Yes, I agree with that. And if you... we did a big piece on... In fact, we had four essays on Islam, and that was covered in one of them. Are you familiar with the term khilafah?
Sorry, with the...
Khilafah, the move to create a world state, Islamic state, and the belief that we need to, or Islam needs to, reinstall a caliph in charge. I mean, that is what the West is concerned about.
But that only works in Islamic country. I mean, if the majority, like New Zealand, let's say, or the United States is considered to be a Christian country, right?
Yep.
But really, there's not many Christians in it. Most people don't even believe in God. Most of them are scientists, and they believe in the Big Bang Theory and stuff like that. But when you talk about Al-Khilafah, it only goes on to the Muslims who live there. Everybody else just needs to pay something called the fidya, which is like taxes.
I'm trying to think of the name of the website. It escapes me for now, but some of the Khilafah websites make the point, and they use verses from the Quran to establish the point. They say it is the duty of every good Muslim once they go into a country that is not of itself an Islamic country,
yeah,
to work towards establishing Islamic values in that country,
yeah,
and to help other Muslims migrate there,
yeah,
and to eventually see if they can introduce an Islamic state there. So what they're saying is it is the duty of every good Muslim to take the faith around the world to countries that don't have it.
Yeah, the idea is to take the faith there, but the idea is not to actually conquer the country using that.
No, you're not conquering it using force, but, well, not certainly in the first instance, but
yeah,
the point about it is that is the, some groups, such as Al-Qaeda and so forth, would say, yeah, you can use force. There are other groups, but the basic thrust of it is still the same. Islam is saying, look, we are the one true religion for the world, right? That's what Islam and the Quran says.
Yeah.
Christianity says we are the one true religion for the world.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle, these two religions have to understand what the other is saying, and there has to be some sort of agreement not to take up swords and whack each other.
Exactly.
I have no problem. I have no problem with a Muslim preacher standing on a street corner in Queen Street and preaching the Quran. I personally don't believe it at all. But I would expect the same, I would defend his right to do that in the same way as I would expect the right of a Christian to stand on a street corner in Queen Street and preach the gospel. Because that is the free trade in ideas and free speech, and that's what our society is founded on. And as long as we both agree on that, and there's never going to be any sort of infringement on anyone's rights, there's no threat.
Exactly, and both in reality, both religions actually support that. You know, that both religions support the expression of free ideas and stuff like that. So.
Except for the Wahhabi strain,
out of
Saudi Arabia and Kuwait.
The Wahhabis are a totally different.
Yeah, and Wahhabi is the one that I think is causing the concern, because of course this mosque down in Christchurch was seeking Wahhabist money to fund it from Al Haramain. And, that is a concern if you have Wahhabism, gaining a toehold in New Zealand. It will become much more aggressive and nasty, wouldn't you agree?
It is, yeah. Well, I agree with you. I don't understand, I am a Muslim.
Yeah.
And to actually understand Islam, it's exactly like Christianity. You know how we have, 60 different sorts of Bibles, and you have more than one faith. You have the Catholics, and you have the Protestants, and you have things like that.
Yeah.
So it's the same exact thing with Islam, although we follow the same book, but a lot of people have, they tend to interpret what the Quran says to benefit their own selves.
Yep.
And Wahhabis are one of those people.
Yeah.
What I mean?
I do know what you mean. They're the most aggressive.
Yeah, exactly. And Islam doesn't, like, everything in the Quran doesn't agree with what the Wahhabis do.
Mm.
But, they just came under the name of Islam, and, and people who don't know about Islam just, expect to say, well, that's Islam for you.
Tell me this, I've got to go to an ad break. But is the Islamic community in New Zealand capable of withstanding the pressure from Wahhabism? Because there are already Wahhabi preachers in this country.
Of course. I mean, we don't, when we try to spread Islam, we try to spread it right, or we don't try to spread it, And we do stand up to them, and we try to stop them, Even on a personal level. So it's not just about the community or anything like that. Even from each Muslim to another Muslim, they try to stop that kind of stuff because it's not through Islam.
Yeah.
And our religion tells us, to either spread Islam right or don't even bother, because you're not really spreading Islam. You're spreading something that you want to make up.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, Hassan. Have a great night. It is 8:25.
Win $500.